I'm tracking active storms on the dual Doppler 5000 radar right now. I'll show you when they clear out.
Plus, more space and help needed at Wake County jails. How one solution could lead to putting some inmates back on the streets. Then we go in-depth on the cost of living and what needs to be done to recapture the American dream.
Right now at 7, a strong line of storms is moving through the Triangle area. Taking a live look at this radar, many of you are seeing heavy downpours where you are, even stronger winds than we've seen much of the day. Thanks for being with us tonight. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Let's take a look at some of the live pics from the WRAL live camera network. Apex, Durham, Raleigh. You can certainly see the rain falling in Chapel Hill. It's about to get even worse as we move through the evening. Another band coming through. We have team coverage for you as this line moves into our area. We begin, though, with meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Kat.
And a line that's moving through the triangle is the most potent part of the system that we're going to see this evening. So the worst of the winds and the worst of the rain have now passed through Chapel Hill and Durham, and they are starting to move through RTP and headed for Wake County next. Here was the initial band we saw move through. That really fell apart, so it's the second band that's really held together and is the more potent area of rain. Rain remains likely. A few thunderstorms could mix in through about 10 o'clock. The main hazard would be 40 to 50 mile an hour winds and the heavy rain. So the roads are wet out there. It's also quite windy if you're heading out. The WRAL storm tracker getting hit hard by the showers right now and the gusty winds. We'll hear from Aaron Thomas coming up here in just a moment. But you can see the line of heavy rain and gusty winds just starting to push into Wake County. We are seeing some rain moving into Fayetteville. Rayford seeing some moderate showers, but at this point, the bulk of the stronger activity remains north of the Sandhills, and it looks like it may stay that way. Here's the storm track. Pittsboro, about 5 minutes from now, the leading edge of this line should hit. Wake Forest, 716. Cary, 724. Apex, around 730. And Raleigh, it should be right around that 730 to 745 time frame. It's been windy today, though. We saw a 51-mile-an-hour wind gust at Pope Army Airfield, and that is in Cumberland County, a 49-mile-an-hour gust in Fayetteville, gusting to 40 miles per hour in Rocky Mount and about 38 miles per hour here in the Triangle and in Smithfield. A wind advisory remains in effect through 1 a.m., and I'll have an hour-by-hour look at when these winds should subside coming up.
Yeah, the wind is a big part of the story tonight, Kat. Thank you. We'll check back in with you soon. As she mentioned, Aaron Thomas in the WRAL Storm Tracker in the Chapel Hill area right now. We know it's been raining there. What else are you seeing out there, Aaron?
Yeah, so Dana, we are actually in the thick of this storm that we're talking about. Heavy rainfall. Giving you a live look at the roads right now. The roads are slick. We have heavy rain that's coming down on the WRAL Storm Tracker windshield. And actually, just within the past 15 minutes, we saw a lightning strike to our left. At one point while driving this truck through Pittsboro, we had some low visibility at one point. That's something to keep in mind. As you can see, both lanes, it's busy in both directions with folks perhaps maybe just getting off work or heading somewhere for dinner. This is something to keep in mind as we approach I-40 eastbound following this storm. As we actually stepped out of the WRAL Storm Tracker, when it comes to wind speeds, things did top out at about 12 miles per hour, but with the storm approaching, we're told by our WRAL meteorologists, things could approach up to 50 miles per hour and wind gusts. So, of course, we'll check back in as we brace for the latter part of the storm. Back to you.
All right. Be safe out there. Aaron Thomas in the WRAL Storm Tracker. Thanks, Aaron.
And Matt Tallhelm is joining us now live in the WRAL Live Center. Matt, what's going on?
Yeah, well, we're tracking the traffic out there, the evening commute. You can see Aaron was right over here where all that heavy rain is. We haven't seen too many problems here on the roads just yet, but I do want to show you. This is the Durham Freeway right in downtown Durham, and you can see all the rain on the camera lens there and the wet pavement. This is what we're really seeing. We've seen it come through in waves where it'll just rush across there because of all the wind. I do want to show you, though, right now, one place we do have an accident. This is I-440 right in Wake County, right in the Raleigh area. This is I-440 at Ridge Road where you're looking at. This traffic here, this is heading up toward the Wade Avenue split there to head over to I-40. It's all backed up because of an accident just a little bit up there right around Wade Avenue that has one lane closed right there. So if you do have anybody that's coming home tonight and they use the Beltline there in Raleigh, they are going to be stuck in all that traffic as that rain comes through.
And Matt, Kat just told me that the wind at RDU just clocked in a gust of 51 miles per hour.
I can show you actually too. It's not affecting flights too badly right now. 53 delays at RDU. That really hasn't changed throughout the afternoon. It was right around 46 when we checked in with you around 5:30 today. So it's not having too many effects on them at this point. But we'll keep tracking that with those winds coming through there at the airport.
Yeah, please do. Thank you, Matt. And make sure you have the WRAL News app as this system moves through the area. You can take the radar with you wherever you go. It's free wherever you get your apps. Wake County's jail is close to capacity, and the sheriff says they're releasing some inmates behind bars for low-level crimes to make room. In addition to issues with space, they're in dire need of more detention officers. WRAL's Julian Grace spoke with the sheriff about these growing problems and how he hopes to fix them.
Sheriff Rowe says the jail is not bursting out of the seams, but he did say he wants to take a proactive approach to let the public know he needs more space and more workers.
We do not have inmates sleeping on the actual floor.
Just a few minutes into our interview, Sheriff Rowe made clear every inmate has a bed, but he did share space is getting tight and that currently 48 cells are being repaired.
We need more space, we need more staff, and we need more agencies that are working within the community to help people.
Wake County currently has 1,568 beds between the downtown jail and the Hammond location. And when those beds are filled, the jail uses beds called easy bunks that are placed in common areas. And on top of that, the jail currently has 134 job openings for detention workers. Tonight, Sheriff Rose shared what he's doing to fill the gap.
We do allow staff to work overtime so we can bring them in to try to fill every position. We're active recruiting. We have an academy ongoing at this time.
But the jail still needs space, and one solution is to open the old jail annex. That plan would add about 240 beds. Sheriff Rose says it will also take outside forces to help decrease the current jail population.
So I think it's a private, public, nonprofit, faith-based partnership that's going to address the conduct of people.
Reporting in Wake County, Julian Grace, WRAL News.
It's unclear how many inmates could be released to make more space. Sheriff Rowe did say it's only a small number of inmates. Today marks 6 months since a UNC student opened fire on campus, killing a professor and sending the campus on lockdown. A grad student shot Shi Jiayan in Caudill Labs. At this point, that student, Tailei Shi, is in custody at a mental health facility at Butner Prison. WRAL has reported two mental health evaluations indicate he is unfit to stand trial. Prosecutors hope rehabilitation will change that. We should get an update at his next court date, which is scheduled for June. You can find all of WRAL's coverage of the shooting on WRAL.com.
I've read your emails, all of them. And tonight, we go in depth on something that frankly has been keeping a lot of you up at night, the crushing cost of living. The conversation begins next at 7 on WRAL.
And as we head to break, another live look from Chapel Hill. As the rain keeps coming down on those slick roads, Kat will have a timeline on when this all clears up coming up. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. I'm meteorologist Kat Campbell. I continue to track this strong line of thunderstorms moving through Wake County as we speak. And I wanted to give you a heads up before we go into our next news story that this line of storms is strengthening as it approaches Raleigh. I've been diving into the radar data and the winds are strengthening. So it's possible soon that we could see winds upgraded in this of more than 50 miles per hour. And that may warrant a severe thunderstorm warning. We're keeping a very close eye on that. So stand by for a weather update coming up here in just a bit.
When we go in depth, I always ask for your feedback and ideas, and I get lots of emails, lots of them. Over the last 2 years or so, I have noticed a definite theme, a stress that a lot of you are feeling, an anxiety or a helplessness that seems impossible to fix. The overwhelming cost of living. I don't mean gas prices and grocery bills and that sort of thing. I mean everything. I mean, the life you thought you'd have if you did things by the book, went to college, got a job, did your part. Our in-depth team wanted to give you a look at the big picture of where we are. Recently, we talked about a group of people who seem to think they've got a part of it figured out. Maybe you've seen the videos of them on social media, where couples proudly describe themselves as DINKS, which stands for dual income, no kids.
We're DINKS. We have disposable income to spend on whatever we would like and don't have to spend on a kid.
We're DINKS. We're going to go to Costco and buy all the snacks in bulk that we want.
They're DINKS, and you probably have an opinion on these people or an opinion on people who have an opinion on these people, but not me. I thought of this article my wife sent me from The Atlantic called The Great Cousin Decline. It says that American families are shrinking in general, but with cousins, that drop happens at a dramatic scale. You see, I have 12 first cousins. I'm sure some of you would need a pen and paper just to figure out how many you have. My kids have two. In 1960, families had an average of 3.65 children. Now, they have 1.64. That's less than half as many kids. Now, sociologists blame a lot of things for this, and some are pretty interesting, like the decline of mom-and-pop businesses. You see, back in the day, a corner store was run by multiple generations. People had kids so that they could run the business. If you have one now, you're almost a novelty. You get visited by the Tar Heel Traveler. There's also birth control. You see, this is a picture of my grandfather's Irish and devoutly Catholic family. He's the adorable little baby in the front. They left family planning in the hands of God. Fast forward 80 years, and the FDA just approved over-the-counter birth control, which means fewer unplanned pregnancies. All that aside, when the National Center for Health Statistics looked at the decline in family size, one of the top reasons people gave for having smaller families wasn't the pill, it was the cost. Over the past year, I've gotten so many emails from you at home after my stories on the soaring costs of things like childcare or buying a house. When I mentioned that the state average for childcare was around $9,200 a year, I got this email from Keith, who lives in Apex, a more affluent community. He said our daycare bill for two children will be more than $36,000 a year. We've looked around the area, and that's on the lower end. That's $3,000 a month that DINKS don't pay, and it's becoming an unavoidable cost to starting a family. A study from the Berkeley School of Business in 2020 found that 78% of millennials and 73% of Gen Xers are dual career couples. That means both people work full time. And while this statistic demonstrates wonderful advancements in equity, equality, and opportunity in the workplace, it also omits some unforeseen ripples to the American dream. 20 years ago, a bankruptcy expert from Harvard Law School and a financial consultant co-authored a controversial book, The Two-Income Trap: Why Middle-Class Parents Are Going Broke. I want to read you an excerpt. As millions of mothers marched into the workforce, savings declined. And not, as we'll show you, because families were frittering away their paychecks on toys for themselves or their children. Instead, families were swept up in a bidding war, competing furiously with one another for their most important possession, a house in a decent school district. Now, before you accuse me of peddling some conservative right-wing anti-feminist agenda, that book was written by Senate Democrat Elizabeth Warren, you know, the former presidential candidate. Furthermore, I'm not using it as a point on gender, only to explain that in many cases, it's no longer a perk to have two earners in the family. It's a necessity. The market for big-ticket items like a house, cars, or college has adjusted. Last year in the Triangle, housing affordability was at an all-time low, meaning the typical family only earned 71% of the income needed to own the typical home. And if you can't afford a house, how can you afford everything else? We often talk about home ownership like it's the end of the equation, but what about emergency savings? A survey from Bankrate found nearly one in four U.S. adults have none. And in 2023, Fortune reported that 57% of Americans can't afford a $1,000 emergency expense. And emergencies happen all the time. Last week, my dishwasher broke. Maybe the HVAC goes out, or the AC. Maybe you have a medical emergency or something wrong with the car. Sometimes all that stuff happens within the same year. Life is expensive. So people are turning to credit cards with a record of $1.08 trillion of debt. We've never seen anything like this before. According to recent stats from LendingTree, the average credit card debt in North Carolina is about $6,700. And at the current average interest rate, over 20%, it would take you more than 17 years to pay it off and cost you nearly 10 grand in additional interest. Then there's student debt. Almost half of millennials have student loans and are, on average, about $40,000 in the hole. That's a lot more money going into the debt jar than into savings. And it would make sense to use jars to explain savings because this money grows over time. You get to keep it. But with debt, I don't think it's as much of a jar as it is a trash can. That money is gone. Though I did see this article last year that surprised me a bit. Millennials on better track for retirement than boomers or Gen X because of automatic enrollment in the 401k. It sounds great until you realize that all three groups are behind. Think of it this way. If the groups were all swimming up for a breath of air, millennials would just drown a little closer to the surface. Not something to really celebrate. Plus, it's not a competition. We're in this together. The less money boomers have for retirement, the more they will rely on government assistance. And a report last year showed that Social Security is now expected to run short of cash by 2033. That means unless Congress does something, Social Security will shrink or worse. So what can Congress do? Well, they can make cuts to those benefits, or they could grow the pot, which would mean taking more money out of your paycheck, unless a whole lot more people start paying taxes. But that would mean, well, it would be more people, and probably more cousins, and fewer dinks. This is just the beginning of this conversation. Email me your thoughts at dan@wrl.com. What else do we need to be talking about? What did I miss in this piece? Please let me know. Let's talk about it and go in depth.
Dan, once again, calling it like it is on a story we can all relate to. Let's get back to the weather. I can hear the rain over our studio here. This is a live look at North Hills, raining up here as well. Meteorologist Kat Campbell tracking it all for us. How are things going, Kat?
The rain is really coming down across Wake County right now. We've got 35 to 45 mile an hour gusts on a widespread basis. We've already seen a couple of gusts today, closer to 50 miles per hour. One of those just happened at RDU, and we keep in a threat for these storms through about 9 or 10 o'clock tonight. The rain really coming down right now in Cary. You can see it's pouring rain in Fenton. The winds are picking up as the leading edge of this line makes its way through Wake County. Winds are now out of the west at 15 miles per hour, previously out of the southwest. That's important because it means the cold front has passed. The wind direction is changing. Apex right on the leading edge of these strong winds right now, as well as downtown Raleigh getting hit with the hardest and the worst of this. And that's going to be headed for Knightdale and Wendell as well. The worst is passed in Wake Forest. It's a pretty narrow line, so it's going to hit pretty quickly and die down pretty quickly to just more of a light rain behind this line here. And then just a few spotty showers left behind this. In our southern counties, you've really missed out on the bulk of the activity today. It's been raining in the Sandhills and Fayetteville, but the worst of the winds now has passed for our southern counties. 8 o'clock, we've got that line making its way into Halifax, Rocky Mount, approaching Wilson and parts of Johnston County, and we'll see that line clear out by about 9 or 10 o'clock, though there may be some scattered showers that linger through about midnight or even 2 a.m. in our southeastern counties. This would be light rain, pretty low impact. So we just have a couple of hours left to go with a storm threat for these strong winds. A 40-mile-an-hour wind gust right now out at the airport, 22-mile-an-hour gust in Fayetteville, and winds gusting to almost 30 miles per hour in Rocky Mount at this moment. We are going to see our winds die down tonight. Still some gusts to about 30 miles per hour at midnight, but after midnight, the wind should begin to let up. By tomorrow morning, we'll see winds gusting to 10 to 15 miles per hour. Not as bad, but it's going to be a lot colder. So we're going to be dealing with a wind chill by tomorrow morning, and that could be in the upper 20s to lower 30s. Heads up there. The cooler air gradually moving in. So by 11 o'clock, it's about 50 degrees, and by 6 a.m., it is 35 degrees. Temperatures are going to be drastically different as you wake up tomorrow. It is at least dry and you'll get to see some sun early in the day, but the clouds should thicken up throughout the day. Enjoy any sun you see because Friday all the way through next Wednesday will be in a pattern of mostly cloudy skies. Friday's trending a bit cooler and rain chances trending higher Friday into Saturday. As we look ahead, Sunday looks to be the drier day of the weekend with just a 20% chance for rain. That low chance for rain into the early part of next week and even into Wednesday. But boy, the rain is really coming down in Raleigh right now. I can hear it falling on the roof here on Western Boulevard.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Kat.
Let's take a live look outside. It is rumbling here at WRAL. I'm surprised you can't hear it through our microphones. You see the look at downtown near the museum, the water speckling on the lens. We're gonna stay on top of this, of course, and be back with another update right after this.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas in the WRAL Storm Tracker, where we are actually in the middle of the storm, currently on I-40 eastbound. You can see there's definitely a lot of traffic. They're going through the same thing we're going through as the heavy rainfall continues to come down. Of course, we've been seeing this as well as heavy winds pick up throughout the day. Of course, we're going to keep our eyes on the road, keep our eyes out for any sort of damage reports, any crash reports as this storm continues to move through our area. Back to you.
Aaron, thank you. The Raleigh-Cary area is the second best place to work from home.
That's according to a new report just released. It put Boulder, Colorado in the top spot. Raleigh-Cary in number two, Durham, Chapel Hill ranking ninth on the list. The study looked at housing costs, percentage of remote workers, internet access, and commute times. It found just over 16% of people in the Raleigh-Cary area work remote, well above the national average. Where the area lost points was its higher housing costs.
Thanks for making WRAL your choice for local news. And by the way, as this weather system moves through the area, we will be keeping you updated with live weather updates every 15 minutes on WRAL News Plus until the threat passes.
We will also, of course, break into programming with any significant warnings in our area. Until then, we'll take another look at the radar. We'll see you back here on Fox 50 at 10 o'clock and live coverage at WRAL at 11. Until then, have a great night.
Watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.